Okay, we're gonna call the regular meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay Community Services District to order. Would you please join Director Porter in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Okay, at this particular point of the meeting, it's time for public comment. The public can speak to us. We have a 3-minute time limit on anything that is not on our agenda, and I'll ask the moderator if there's any public that would like to address us.
If there's anyone from the public online that would like to make comment, now's time to do so, just as Mr. President said. Because we're on a conference line, please unmute your phone, identify yourself, and wait to be acknowledged by the president. We're hearing none, Mr. President.
All right, thank you. We'll close public comment and move on to the consent calendar. Is there any item the board would want to remove from the consent calendar? Seeing none, do I hear a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, we'll have a roll call vote, please.
Director Graves?
Me?
You?
Oh, aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Mayer?
Aye.
Vice President Gatto?
Aye.
President Keyes?
Aye. With that, we're going to move on to the Veolia.
Mr. President?
Yes.
Mr. President, before we go on to the business and action items, we'd ask that public comment be taken before the next vote. So, thank you.
Thank you. We'll have the, is there any public comment on the consent calendar? Hearing none, we'll move on to Veolia presentation, please.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Here we are again, September 2020 monthly report. As we continue moving forward, we can see that the day safety operation and the hours continue going up, which is a good sign. The next one, it is nothing more than safety training that we do every month for all the operators and all the maintenance team that we have in Veolia. Also, we have the operations. We continue working in SOPs and also training in the new apparatus that we have to manage manganese and iron. We have the DR900 HAC. It's a pretty nice equipment, so we're getting training all the operators with that. The next one, it is nothing more, all the documentation that has been submitted to the agencies of California, the state, in order to maintain the state in compliance as per the permits. The next one, it is nothing more, they continue using the ground wells. We still continue using 1B, 2, 4, 5Bs on the standby 6 and 7. Right at the bottom, you're going to see the water tables for 2020, September, the water that is being produced. This month, I decided, instead of putting graphs, some people has difficulty to understand the graphs, so I decided to put numbers, so numbers speak by themselves. I try to put the water production and also the Newport recycling and the Willow recycling water that is being reused for the town of Discovery Bay, which is a pretty good numbers.
How are we using our recycled water?
The recycling, from what I heard, is we use it sometimes for our pumps, for the kind of watering all those rings that we have, the grains, also the golf course. And use a little bit of that as well. So if you see everywhere you go, when you go to the wastewater, if you see all that purple water,
right,
it is non-potable water.
Right.
Right here, it's just the back teas that we use monthly for the water. We did a total of 20 samples, no issues at all. right here. We have a table for the wastewater. No concerns whatsoever, no exceedances, no deficiencies. I want you to concentrate on the last number for conductivity that we have been talking about. Now, the number that is going to be reported to the state of California is nothing more than the annual average of the conductivity. The numbers that I have been putting previously are the monthly. So right now, what I did is just to show you the average that you have at this particular time of the month of September. It is at 2350, which shows that we are below the 2400. Right here, it's just pretty much the test that we did, the examples, no exceedances, no deficiencies. Also, we have the 15 lift stations that they're still in functionality. I'm very happy to announce right now that in the month of October, we decided to start with the hydrant flashing exercise, the valve exercise, and also confirmation with a new GPS that we purchased. And this is for the program to support the Infonet program that we have. This is going to become a very accurate. We are rearranging, locating new valves, new hydrants, relocating them again in the map. That's going to be something that the town is going to have access to, really. Right now, every location is coming with 1 centimeter of the distance of the pinpoint in the map. Mm. Now, in the month of November, we're going to change gears to our collection system. And pretty much what we're going to do is we're going to be in preparation for rain season in order to avoid SSOs. One thing that I have been telling my team, that all SSOs can be avoidable. So that's why we're going to start being proactive, cleaning the lines, seeing the hot spots and everything. Right now we have located 6 hot spots all the way around Discover Bay. Right here, as we continue moving forward, preventive maintenance and corrective actions, right there we are showing a total of 278. Out of those 278 work orders, 268 were preventing, corrective were only 10, with a ratio of 96.4%. Right in the bottom, you can see the hours that were invested was 223.4, preventing was 203, and corrective were 20 hours, giving us a hours ratio 91%. Right there, we continue just kind of showing which number of work preventing maintenance have been behind 31, 60 days, 30 days, etc., etc., etc. Pretty much the ones we're still behind is the calibration of the meters that we're still having the company coming forward. It has to be, they need to be calibrated by a third party. Right here, this one is just general information. Pretty much we have 5 physical calls. The operators had to come in the middle of the night and conduct a routine inspection or troubleshoot something that was wrong into the systems. Some of those 11 were remote with the SCADA. Thanks to our technology, we can operate the pumps and stop and running and whatever needs to be done by the phones. We total work 1,080 hours. Out of those 1,080 hours, 37.5 hours we total overtime. That one right there is just the terminology for people to get used to. See, sometimes when I talk of WAS, RAS, PPM, million gallons per day, total spent solids in DOD. So you guys can use that as a guidance. Does anybody have any questions?
No questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Elfrick has a question, please.
All right. Go ahead, please.
You said you're using the recycled water on the golf course. I have seen no signs notifying any of us who are out there that potable, there's non-potable water being used out there. So is it correct that it is being used on the golf course? Thank you.
It is just for irrigation.
And can we be a little more specific? So it's not being used on the fairways.
It's used, yes, it's not used on the fairways.
It's just for plants.
Plants. It's just for irrigation.
Right.
That's what we call it over here, irrigation.
Okay, thank you. So no golfers are walking through any recycled water?
No.
Okay. All right, with that, we're going to move on to discussion and action items, F1, discussion of community pool. Staff, please.
Yes, I'm going to turn this over to our project manager, Mike Urraga. Mike?
Thank you, Mr. Davies and Mr. President. I want to make sure that you can hear me okay first.
Yes, we can.
Great, thank you. So, at the last board meeting, the general manager mentioned to the board that we had spoken with Adams Pool Solutions about the possible extension of the pool to 75 feet and providing four lanes rather than three lanes. And at that time he mentioned that Adams had quoted us about $104,000 to make that change. But now, since that time until now, we got into the weeds a little bit and added a few more, four more rope anchors, and they have to make sure they complied with prevailing wages. So that number in the change order that's attached to the staff report is $106,843. And there is a sketch attached with the change order that shows you that we'll be extending in the shallow end if the board did decide to do this. Approximately 4 feet, and they would be adding an additional lane. I'm sorry, approximately 5 feet. They'd be adding an additional lane, and there is currently existing width there to provide, just for lack of a better term, competition width of what you would see in a regular racing lane and the length. So that's what this change order does accomplish there, as well as squaring off the one corner in the deep end. Along with all of this, we took a look at the existing pool. Adams Pool recommended that we do also include it in this change order, change out the skimmers because they've been exposed to the sunlight for about 2 years. And so that's included in the change order. Everything else they felt looked okay. There was already in the original scope to replace a portion of the bottom of the existing concrete of the shallow end of the pool because it was determined that it was in need of replacement. So that's already included in the original scope and would be accomplished if you did decide to go forward with this change order as well. There is the equipment that we have there, and the concrete slab under the equipment is cracked and falling apart and needs to be replaced, especially if it will have a new equipment shed installed on top of the new concrete slab. So there's a lot of different moving parts in this. We need to have someone come in and first remove the existing equipment. And we've spoken with a company in Brentwood, National Aquatic Services. And they've given us some pricing to remove the existing equipment, the pump, the filters, the heaters, the chlorine equipment out of the way, stored safely, and then allow a concrete contractor to come in and demo out the concrete slab and pour a new slab, and then come back and install. Originally our plan, we did receive a quote from Tough Shed to put in a Tough Shed, but their policies changed in which they no longer do the labor to install for government agencies that require prevailing wages. So we've been running around talking with contractors to find someone to install the Tough Shed for us. And in those discussions, one of the contractors said, you know, Mike, I could probably build you a new building and pour the concrete slab for you for less than what you're looking at for buying the Tough Shed, hiring a separate concrete contractor, and doing it in pieces. He said, I could do it as a turnkey for you. So that's very interesting for us to help keep costs down. So we're going to have a little change to the recommendation towards the end of my presentation, as opposed to what you have in your staff report. And so as we're talking with NAS, they had asked, do you want another heater? Because you may want to consider having the pool open an additional 2.5 months in the springtime cooler month and an additional 2.5 months in the fall cooler month. So we sat down with staff and figured out, as mentioned in the report, that if you did want to do that for the additional 5 months, it'd be about approximately $21,000 per year in additional for that. And the one thing to consider is that the availability of lifeguards during these 5 months is somewhat uncertain. So we don't have the pricing on all of that exactly as of this point, but we did want to throw that out to you for consideration as a possibility. But we wanted you to understand the impacts from an ongoing standpoint of PG&E expenses, things like that, for keeping the pool open longer. So what I've got here for you on the second page of the staff report is a summary table that shows what the board has approved funding-wise so far for this project. So in 2019, there was $92,000 expended, as was from the budget in 2019. And then, given the pause in the project, the board approved a budget for fiscal year 2021 of $360,000 to complete the project. So we have a total project funds of $452,000. We have on the project cost side, the original contract with Adams Pool Solutions. And when the board approved that, the board also approved 15% contingencies for $26,900. If we add to that the $106,843, if the board did choose to extend the pool to 75 feet, then we have the quote from the concrete subcontractor, Abacus Concrete, of $22,000 to remove and replace the concrete slab that I mentioned. And then we also have costs for the new equipment shed, remove and replace the equipment. Because the pool is going to be longer with more volume, they have advised us that we would need a fourth filter installed to handle the additional volume. So that is what we're including in here if the board did want to go with the longer pool. And then we have other project contingencies, which we feel very confident that we could bring the project in at the $452,000 that the board had previously approved and in the current budget. So under the specific board action, the item A there, no change there, recommend if you, again, if the board chose to extend the pool to 75 feet, to authorize the general manager to execute the change order with Adam Pool in the amount of $106,843. And then what we would do is, rather than have you do item B there to specifically have an agreement with Abacus Concrete, we'd like to just delete that part B and amend part C so that it would read, authorize the general manager to execute any and all agreements to remove and replace the existing pool equipment, install additional filter, install equipment shed, and concrete slab. That's the part to add to the language, and concrete slab, and any other actions required to complete the project up to the total project cost of $452,000. By doing this, it gives staff the flexibility to get additional pricing to where we can perhaps get the slab work done along with the building with one contractor and hopefully do it for less money. So that is my presentation if you have questions.
All right, thank you. Does the board have any clarifying questions?
I have a quick question. In the scope of work that Adams had requested, with us expanding that shallow end, is that going to be included in their warrantable work? I know at some point there was some concern about whether they could add on to stuff that was already there.
typically when you have a change order on an existing contract, the terms of that change order is included with the existing contract, and the existing contract says that the warranty starts upon acceptance of the project by the town and it continues for 12 months. So I would expect that this work as a change order would be consistent with the existing contract, which requires them to warranty everything.
Thank you.
Okay, at this particular point, I'd open it up to public comments. Is there any public comment on this item?
Bill Helmer, yes, please.
Mr. Helmer.
All right. This reminds me of the board meeting that we held about 18 months ago where you tried to make change orders to the Adams repair contract switching to a 6-foot to 8-foot lane pool. The board has now wasted $74,000 on Terracom consulting contracts, $22,000 more on Adams because of the delay of getting the repairs started. So there's about $100,000 that's just been wasted on this project. If I'm reading the project cost right, with only $180,000 left to complete the Adams pool, now you're again trying to make change orders to the original Adams contract and add additional new work at a cost of approximately $272,000. This project has turned into a circus. This is much like the 2-tunnel dumped on us by the state. They're being very magnanimous, cut it back to 1 tunnel, just 1 bigger tunnel. So now you're cutting it back from $1 million, $1.8 million, to just adding another $272,000 to this cost. You say that with, I have a hard time that this could be considered change orders. A change order is the striping on the pool is painted blue. Let's change it to paint black. It's not adding new work and $272,000 to the cost. I question your ability to run this thing through as a change order. So, is this really a new project that's added $252,000 to the repair cost? And if it is, how can we put it through as a change order when before you felt that it had to go out to the bid process? And additionally, is this it? If you get your $452,000, is that going to end the cost? Is there going to be more bleeding? Are we going to have to deal with the upgrades to the pool house you've built in there, but the community center itself with bathrooms, with parking, etc.? I'm just concerned that this thing is still spiraling out of control, and again, there has been so much waste on this. Is it just going to ever end, and it's time to get it done? Thank you.
Is there any other public comment?
Frank Dissington.
Go ahead, please.
I am requesting item 1F be removed from tonight's agenda and no further action be taken on the pool except what was noted on by the board and endorsed by the public. I would have thought that staff and board members, now including Porter, would act in parallel with the public's wishes to finish the pool and not coming up with yet another alternative with no comparative costs or final costs or run rates. The 5-0 vote to evaluate the pool speaks volumes about how this 5-member board will work with and listen to the public. I predict another 5-0 vote tonight, a betrayal of public trust. Swim team coaches, swimmers, know that all championship swimming competition pools shall be 75 feet, 25 meters, or 50 meters. So now we, the public, understand why the pool needs to be 75 feet long with rounded corners and racing lanes. Welcome to the competition swimming. The prior budget of $360,000 was for the $2 million pool. What is the accounting principle that allows the budgeted $360 million to now be used in the estimated $452,000 pool? The public asked for and wants the approved Adams pool solution for $176,000. The public wants landscaping. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment?
Bob Graham.
Go ahead, please.
So I agree with Mr. Bisbin, and also just because there's $400,000 in the budget doesn't mean that it has to be spent.
Are you finished? Okay.
Yes.
Any other public comments?
Before you take a vote, will you get a, this is Mike Lawrence. Before you take a vote, will you get a solid number and assumptions? Because a lot of stuff I just heard tonight was assumptions. We're assuming this guy's gonna concrete. We're assuming Upshed's gonna sell you a kit. We're assuming this, we're assuming that. What's the bottom line number? I don't think anybody should make a vote until you know how much you're going to write that check for. Because it's going to end up being a hell of a lot more than that to talk about. That's why the pool, the first pool ended up to be $1.8 million. So I hope you guys are straight with the public, because right now you're not being very straight with the public. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment?
Terry Laughlin.
Go ahead, Mr. Laughlin.
At the CSD board meeting on November 7th, 2018, one item of discussion was what to do with the pool. The pool had been demolished, and one of the ideas was to graft a piece to the enlarge the pool similar to the current proposal. Director Pease asked the representatives from Adams Pool if adding a new piece of concrete to an old piece of concrete would cause us any trouble down the line, and would there be a warranty? Adams Pool said, because of the condition of the pool and the water table, this would not be the best way to go, and there would be no warranty and no guarantee. Shortly after this revelation, the board scrapped any idea to add on to the old pool. Here we are resurrecting an old idea that was rejected before. The old pool hasn't changed. Adding on to it now would have no better outcome than it would have 2 years ago. I implore you to go ahead with the refurbishment that you voted for on September 16th, so that we will have a pool for the next summer. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment?
Yes. Connie Miller.
Go ahead, Ms. Miller.
I've listened to so much information tonight. It's kind of mind-boggling here. I'm very concerned. I thought that I heard the gentleman speaking that was giving all the figures about the pool, that there would be a guarantee and a warranty. That concerns me terribly. As you heard, 2 years ago, Adams Pool said they would not guarantee or warranty the work done by adding old, new concrete to old concrete. And I'm concerned because how come they wouldn't give us a guarantee 2 years ago, but they, you say, or some, that gentleman said, I thought I heard that they would. Seriously, gentlemen of the board, would you please think about this? And ladies, I'm sorry, Ashley. Please get your facts straight. Thank you. Oh, I want a pool for next year. I think the kids would like a pool for next year. And I'm concerned that now that you didn't get started in October, the beginning of October, once again, they won't have a pool. Thank you.
Any other public comment? Okay, hearing no public comment, I'm going to close public comment. I'm going to bring it back for board discussion, but I would like to ask Mike Rocco two questions, which relates to the public comment. Could you please clarify Adams Pool's warranty specific to the project, the way it's being configured at this particular time?
So the current agreement with them does have a 12-month warranty for their work, and the change order is incorporated into the agreement. By them presenting this change order to us, they have not said to me, or they have not included in the language of the change order, that there would not be any warranty work, or the change order does not revise the warranty requirement in the agreement. So because there is no revision to the language of the warranty in the agreement, we would hold Adams to the warranty requirement in the agreement.
Thank you. And the second question, if approval was given for this pool to be rehabitated at this meeting, when does Adams Pool estimate the completion date?
I asked Tony Adams himself that very question, and he said that it would be done in time for the to start swimming next spring, April-May time. I think May time frame is what he said.
Thank you for that clarity. Okay, I'm going to bring it back to the board for any discussion.
Yeah, I have some. Hey, Mike, this is Kevin. Or excuse me, this is Director Graves. There was some discussion trying to address some of these concerns by the public, because it is a concern. There was some discussion, and it was a bit, there was a lot of numbers thrown out there by you, but my understanding from what you said earlier tonight, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that all we're talking about doing is talking to a contractor about saving money, not increased cost. Is that correct? When you're talking about the tough shed option and the concrete option, it's to actually reduce the total costs, but the maximum, but if the worst case scenario is in the budgeted item, can you please clarify that for me?
Yes, so as we have been looking at this project, the original tough shed size, for example, was 20 feet by 30 feet, and we were questioning, does it need to be that big? So after discussion, we concluded that we could have a shed that's 16 feet by 32 feet. So that would reduce the size of the concrete slab, which would reduce some cost there. Plus, that would reduce, hopefully, the cost of the tough shed. I would expect to be less because it's a smaller tough shed. But again, in talking with the contractor about installing the tough shed, he had said that he felt that he could present a proposal to the town that would be even less expensive than doing that, because he would just build it from scratch. So those are the things that we're working on now to improve these costs and come in below the estimates.
And
now, when I say estimates,
go ahead.
Just to clarify, some of these costs are based on hard numbers that we do have from the concrete guy and the equipment guy. We do have some hard numbers now.
So just to clarify, we're seeking a bid that would save money by doing sole source for both parts of the project. And I know this is happening really fast, so I'm not faulting anybody for not having these hard numbers for us, because this is all happening very quickly. But I just want for clarification, it would do nothing but save us money. It would not be a cost overrun, correct?
That's correct. That's what we're working towards. We do have hard numbers, but we feel we can do better than those hard numbers by getting additional quotes.
Thank you, Mike.
Mike, Director Coteau, just for clarification, if my understanding is correct, after listening to you, really the only difference in financial impact is approximately $80,000 to $90,000. If we extend the pool, because the skimmers would have to be replaced anyways, whether we move forward with the refurbishment or the extension, and that's approximately $20,000. So if we back out $20,000 from the 106, the true impact is about $80,000 to $85,000. Is that correct?
Yes, if you recall from the original quote from Adams, they gave us I'm trying to find it myself right now. They said if we just stuck with refurbishing the pool under the existing contract, that would be an additional $22,575. So yes, by extending the length of the pool, we're talking about an additional now $84,000 or so, $85,000. Yes. But you're correct. All the other costs that are in the table here. Remove and replace the concrete slab still needs to be done. The equipment shed, remove and replace the equipment. We would not need to add a filter. So these costs you see here, a majority of them would still need to be incurred.
Thank you.
Okay, I think I have all my questions answered. Is there any other discussion and or a motion?
Yeah, I make a motion that we modify and accept the change order from Adams Pool to what's been proposed here with regards to the diagram that's included in our packet.
So that's to move staff recommendation with,
that would be correct,
with the addition of item, deleting item B, and adding in item C and concrete slab and other requirements. Is that true?
Yeah, with the modification as indicated by Mike Rocco.
Correct. Thank you. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Could I have a roll call vote, please?
Director Graves?
Aye.
Chair? Mr. President, just to make sure that on that we're talking about A, the motion is A and C.
Yes.
So that is with the cap of $452,000?
Correct. And the addition
Thank you very much.
And the addition of the three words, concrete slab and.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry.
All right.
Proceed. Thank you.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Mayer?
Aye.
Vice President Coteau?
Aye.
President Keyes?
Aye. Motion carries. With that, we're going to move on to item F2.
Yes, we'll turn that over to General Counsel.
All right. General Counsel, please.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. President. As set forth in the staff report, Lodgepole Investments has requested an easement over town property to be used for ingress, egress, and public utilities. The board directed staff to negotiate the terms and conditions of the easement according to the board's instructions. Staff has negotiated those terms and conditions with Lodgepole, resulting in Lodgepole's approval of the agreement included in tonight's agenda. The item before the board tonight is to consider the adoption of Resolution 2020-22. Resolution 2020-22 does two things. First, it makes a determination that the easement is exempt surplus land. And second, it approves an easement agreement containing terms and conditions upon which the town will transfer the easement to Lodgepole. Staff recommends approval of Resolution 2020-22. If the board has any questions, I'll do my best to address those.
Is there any clarifying questions from the board?
Andy, I just want to make sure that as we talked about this, we talked about the stop signs being a four-way stop there. That's also, that's included. I'm sorry, is that included in this language? Am I missing it? I believe they agreed to that.
Correct.
Go ahead, Ed.
Yes, that is included in the agreement.
Okay, thank you.
Just expanding on Director Graves' comment, there is a light pole currently in there, and in the reading, I did not see any reference to light pole. Is that assumed to be moved, or does that need to be pointed out?
We can work with Lodgepole to figure that out. The light pole, as the easement is set forth in their renderings at this point, the light pole is right smack in the middle of the easement. That easement is going to be the primary ingress and egress, so we would presume that it would be moved. We can make sure and coordinate with Lodgepole that the light pole is moved and that there is something to be done to accommodate for such.
Yeah, I think that's probably the right way to go, because I believe the town owns responsibility for the light pole, and I just don't want it. An assumption worries me.
Some of the poles go by PG&E. I'm not sure what that one falls in.
Okay, is there any other clarifying questions from the board? Seeing none, I'm going to open it up to public comment. Is there any public comment?
Bill Helfrich, please.
Go ahead, Mr. Helfrich.
If I read the appraisal report that your $15,000 price is based on, it sounds like it ended up somewhere about $5 plus a foot as the value. I think you're giving away the land. I know personally a piece of property on Bixler that the owner is turning down $10 to $12 a foot as the price, as being insufficient, which is more than double what you're getting for this. So I'm not sure that you've really gotten the right appraisal. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment? Seeing and hearing none, I'll bring it, close public comment, bring it back to the board for discussion and or motion. I would like to add one clarifying question of staff. Our appraiser is from Cushman Wakefield, and I've read the appraisal. It appears to me that they're very qualified in appraising property. Does staff agree with that assumption?
The staff has no opinion on Cushman and Wakefield, we other than the fact that they are a recognized appraiser within the field and have been, and I have had other dealings with them. This appraisal was commissioned by the applicant, and the town considered the appraisal with the board and determined that the appraisal was sufficient.
Thank you. Yeah, this piece of property is not on Bixler by any means, so there's a big difference in valuation. So, any further question and or a motion from the board?
Yeah, Chair Pierce, after spending some time, again, reviewing the appraisal and looking at the totality of the project, I'd like to ask the board to work with me and bring this back to closed session. I have some serious concerns about this moving forward, and I would like us to bring this back to closed session to discuss this further at a following meeting. So I'd like to make a motion that this goes back to closed session.
Don't see a second, so I don't think we're going there. Okay. Any other discussion? Can we hear a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion that we approve per staff recommendation.
I'll second it.
Roll call vote, please.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Mayer?
Aye.
Vice President Buteau?
No.
President Pease?
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, with that, we're going to move on to manager's report, community center polling location.
Okay, we'll bring up Parks and Recreation.
Good evening, everyone. Want to inform you that we will again be a polling location. There have been some question out there because of COVID, but November 3rd, we will be open. The polls are open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Voters may also drop off their ballot here on November 3rd if they don't want to come in and vote. The elections officials are planning on having it pretty close to the door, watching it, so that folks don't have to come all the way in. They are responsible, the elections office officials, for supplying any PPE equipment to their volunteers. They'll have sanitizer for the voters. There is a drop-off box for anyone interested at the Yacht Club right now, and they will be monitoring everything to make sure that we keep the correct amount of people at a safe distance following the county health order. Any questions?
I have a question with regards to that drop-off box at the Yacht Club. Is that for absent? Can you drop off your absentee ballots there, and that's an official spot?
That's an official
secure
drop-off.
And will be picked up by a county official?
Every day. Yeah, I spoke with the representative. I met with her. I work with her very closely. And that she said that they are picking that up every day.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Seeing none, thank you very much for your report. With that, we're going to go to
I'd like to bring up Assistant General Manager Brightstein to give you an update on a changeover in our email system.
Oh, okay.
Good evening. The town of Discovery Bay is migrating its email from Rackspace to Microsoft Cloud Servers. This new email service is called Microsoft Office 365. The migration is scheduled to begin after hours on Friday, October 23rd through Sunday, October 25th. Precision IT will be conducting the migration and working diligently to make it as smooth as possible. The town should be back to business as usual by our return to work on Monday, October 26th. During the time between October 23rd at 5 p.m. and Sunday at midnight, email access will not be available. To inform the public, staff is going to post notice regarding the email delay due to the migration on the website, and we are also going to send out an email blast to the residents. Any questions?
Thank you.
What do we maintain our same email addresses? Nothing changes there?
Same email addresses, nothing changes.
So we're changing the host, if you will. Just for public comment, why?
Well, Rackspace is no longer a secure, Rackspace is just something that, it's more of a home-based kind of system. And so now we're moving to a more in-the-cloud server. Precision IT recommended it. A lot of businesses are going to it. It also offers Microsoft Teams and other platforms that we can utilize. So it's just a little bit more robust for us.
All right, so we're moving into the 21st century.
We are.
Thank you.
Okay.
And with that, now we'll go to the general manager's report.
Thank you. As the board is aware, Discovery Bay is a groundwater sustainability agency known as a GSA. That meets with seven other GSAs that draw drinking water from the East Contra Costa sub-basin. In a joint MOU, we are working together to write a groundwater sustainability plan known as a GSP. The GSP is a detailed roadmap for how our groundwater basin will maintain long-term sustainability. The Department of Water Resources require that we complete our GSP by January 31st, 2022. I want to update you on the fact that we are progressing well and we have completed three JAP chapters of the plan, and we're now working on a draft chapter four. There will be a total of nine sections when complete. On July 9th, we held a virtual meeting with the public to provide information as well as receive feedback on developing the plan. The meeting was recorded and is available for viewing. We have update information available to the public on our website, and we encourage public input. And that should bring you up to date on where we're at so far. If there's any questions?
Don't see any questions from the board. Thank you very much for that excellent report. With that, we'll move to any future agenda items.
Director Porter, I'd like to add to the agenda revisiting the governor's executive order and possibly doing our meetings via teleconference. It sounds like we're getting a new upgraded system that would include Microsoft Teams that could accommodate that.
So, explain to me what this would be.
I would just like to have it have the discussion maybe with our communications team, our committee, to revisit doing our board meetings via video conference versus teleconference to be within the governor's executive order, and along with kind of the rest of municipalities, school boards, stuff like that, they're all doing things via video conference at this point.
Is there any other board comments?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea, but I think we need to work with staff, whoever's, I know there's some people that are looking at some of those options, but I think there's a distinct advantage of going to video in that you can mute people one by one, you can invite them to the thing, they can put up their hand, say, I'd like to speak. It would actually make the flow of the meeting a lot more easier for not only us, but for the public as they would want to participate, I believe.
As well, I agree we should pursue this. So far, the half a dozen or so I've used in the last 3 months have been just as chaotic as audio by itself. It's a new technology that firms and government agencies are trying to use, and I think we've got to move in that direction.
I'm not totally sold on that based on the volume of what we have. So my main concern would be any added staff time to do it and any added equipment needed, so the overall cost to kind of run. I'm all for public, being here. I'd love to have the public in the building. There's no problem with that at all. But so I'd like to ask staff to kind of do, analyze, do whatever it takes to kind of figure it all out and see what the costs are and the complications and what happens if something fails. So.
Yes, we can absolutely do that, bring back some pros and cons, maybe look at some recommended alternative systems, et cetera. This may take some time. We'll try to work with our IT people so that we can bring back a somewhat intelligent report from some experts in the area.
Okay, well, whenever you feel you have it together, bring it to us.
Okay,
thank you.
And with that, at 7:53, we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you.